All right, well, once again, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. It's a beautiful Sunday. Good to be with the people of God today. Great to have my wife back here with us today. So glad you're here, hon. So if you guys will turn in your Bible, if you're not there already, to Luke chapter 8. We will be there here in a few moments. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. Ellie, you know what I was thinking of this week? I told Trish what you said last Sunday, that Ellie's bananas for Jesus. And I think I see that. And so that was from last week's message. So the title of the message today is Take Care How You Listen. Take care how you listen. And so I want to ask you this, guys. Are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? Have you ever been caught not listening? Especially, and it could be with anybody, but especially if it's your spouse. And you know, they've been talking for 15 minutes. And I haven't heard a word they've said, so I hope she doesn't ask. I see a lot of people getting red and smiling. We've probably all been there. And you know, and we laugh about that, but it doesn't feel good when people don't listen to you, does it? I think we all like being around somebody who, man, that guy or that lady, they listen when you're talking. It's a kind thing to do. It's very thoughtful. And so, you know, there's one thing, not listening to other people. That's bad enough, okay? James 1:19 says, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So we need to, right? You've probably all heard the little, I don't know who came up with it, but obviously God gave us two ears and one mouth. So we need to be good listeners with other people. But it's a whole other thing not to listen to the Lord, which is really what we're talking about today. It's a whole other thing. The phrase, hear the word of the Lord, occurs 30 times in the Old Testament. Hear the word of the Lord. In other words, listen up. That phrase occurs 30 times in the Old Testament. Here's a few examples. There's many, but here's a couple of examples of this example about God's people not listening. The nation of Israel, they failed many times at this. And so, for example, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9, the Lord says, for this is a rebellious people, false sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. We don't want to be in that category, guys. That phrase of not listening to the Lord, God associates that with rebellion. False sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. Another passage is one I prayed through while ago in our reading that we did while ago, but I want to read those three verses again. In Psalm 81, 11 through 13. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. You see how the two are connected? Verse 12, so I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, remember? For people who refuse to listen, God, you're running the danger of God giving you over to your sin. And then in verse 13, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And so that's really the heart of disobedience is just refusing to listen to the Lord, right? You may hear it, but you're really not listening with the intention of obeying, with the intention of believing. So that's what all of this language is. You know, think of it, again, back to maybe for those of you who have raised children or are raising children, you know, think of it from a fatherly standpoint or a mother, or anybody, you know, you have authority, but I just think about raising boys and you give them clear instruction on something that's important, something that will protect them. Like, you do this, and there's good consequences. Good will become of this, but if you do this, beware, there's consequences. Bad consequences, you may mess your life up or whatever. And what'd they do? They didn't listen. They tuned you out. And pay the consequences. And so, It's that heart of disobedience. No, I'm not going to listen to what you say. And so may we apply this to our lives today. Listen to Mark chapter 9, verse 7. This is that all-familiar part of Scripture in Mark's Gospel where Jesus was up on the mountain. Peter, James, and John, the Mount Transfiguration. And you guys don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read one verse, but it's Mark 9, 7. And then, of course, you know, Moses and Elijah appeared. Jesus was transfigured before his eye, before their eyes in his full glory. And what did the Father say from heaven? This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. May we take heed to that today. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. So I want to ask you again, are you a good listener? Are you a good listener? Am I a good listener? Verse 18 in our text, in Luke 8, Jesus says those words, take care how you listen. So that's the title of the message. Take care how you listen. Now, it's real important for us to know, guys, that in this passage can seem rather obscure on first reading it and trying to figure out, okay, how does this fit with what's there in the context? Actually, Jesus is continuing His very thoughts from the parable of the soils that I'm confident you guys will see once we go through this. He's continuing His thoughts of the soils about being a good listener. About being a good listener. So I would say, if you didn't hear that message, go back and listen to it. Because this is just a continuation of it, really, of the parable of the soils. Being a good listener. An example of the good listener is in verse 15 that we looked at last week. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who heard, right? They heard the word. They heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. That's the good listener. They not only hear it, but they hear it. They listen. They obey. They believe. And so He's giving, in this short parable that we're going to see, this parable of the lamp, He's giving additional application to the parable of the soils. So take care how you listen. Are you a good listener? I mean, it's so important. We're going to read the text here in a moment, but it's so important that we be good listeners. Number one, to the Lord. It's a sign of humility. But have you ever been around somebody who's just a mature, godly person? Not only do they listen to the Lord, but they listen to you. Somebody who's a true, mature, godly person, they'll listen to the least. They'll listen to a little child. They won't blow them off. Is that you and I? That marks a godly person. You know, people aren't below us, in other words. We listen. So let's look at the text in Luke 8, 16 through 21. Again, right off the heels of the parable of the soils, Jesus says next in verse 16, now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Father, we just approach your word, Lord. I pray that everyone here is approaching your word with humility. I pray we are the person who is contrite of heart in Isaiah 66, verse 2, who trembles at your word, Lord. If not, Lord, help us to be that person. Lord, minister to your sheep today, God. Give them ears to hear your word today, Father. Help us all to take care of how we listen. Father, may Christ be glorified today in this place and in our lives, Father, as we leave this place today. May He be glorified in all the different areas of our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have a bulletin, we do have a bulletin once again today. My wife felt up to making one. So if you have an outline, I do have a question that I think will help us today. And it's this on the top of your outline. What does it look like to be a good listener of the truth? And if you notice, I have the truth, a capital T. The truth, right? Not my truth, not your truth, not just some random truth, but the truth. What does it look like to be a good listener of the truth? And so we're going to see three things today. A good listener of the truth, first of all, is one who lives the truth. Who lives the truth in verse 16. A good listener of the truth is one who lives the truth in verse 16. He says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light." So what are you going to do with the truth that you've heard, guys? That's the question we want to put out there. What do we do with the truth when we hear the truth? So isn't it true, guys, if you have something useful, okay, the proper thing to do with something useful is to use it, right? You're going, okay. So what do I mean by that? Well, an example of that would be this. How many of you have been guilty of, or know somebody, you've been in their house and they've been guilty of, maybe it was a New Year's resolution to get in shape, and you go out, or somebody you knew, they go out and they spend hundreds of dollars to get a nice big treadmill, or a stationary bike, or a Nordic track. And you know, some people, they're faithful in using them, but I've been in homes where I see, what do they become? A clothes hanger. It's just like, well, you didn't really need to spend that many hundreds or thousands of dollars for a clothes hanger. can you see that though, guys? You spend all that money and then you do nothing with it. If you're going to have something useful, the good thing to do would be to use it. On a more serious note, some people hear the truth, capital T, and they do nothing with it. Okay? They do nothing with the truth. Well, obviously the truth is much more valuable than any price tag that we could put on it. It's like the bad soil. The person who hears the truth and does nothing with it, they're like the bad soil. They don't bear any fruit. It's like the treadmill that becomes useless. If you buy a treadmill and park it over in the corner and don't use it, it's really useless. Unless you think, well, I hang clothes on it. And so, it's like having the truth. Having this treadmill, not using it, it is. It's like having the truth and doing nothing with it. It, the truth. The truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Gospel, becomes useless in your life. I mean, you can hear the gospel, right? You can hear the word of God. But if you do nothing with it, it becomes useless in your life. And it becomes useless in other people's lives, meaning you're not impacting other people. It has no effect in your life, no effect in other people's lives. You just hear it with your physical ears. You know what that? You know what buying a treadmill and parking it in the corner and making it useless, you know what that? Because it's ridiculous, really, when we do that. It's like, why spend all that money? It is as ridiculous as having a lamp and covering it up. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. What's the purpose of a lamp? Feel free to answer. You don't buy a lamp just for... I guess you could not turn it on. You have it. It's a nice lamp. It's a good decoration. But when you turn on a lamp, what's the purpose? To give light to the room. That's what Jesus is saying. Something meant to be useful, like a lamp that lights up a room where you can see where you're going. A person's made it useless to cover it up, to put it under a bed. And look what he says in verse 16. In the very first words, now no one would do this. That's what he's saying. No one would do this. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it up over a container. Why? Because it's ridiculous. You've just made it useless. So what's he getting at, guys? What's Jesus getting at in verse 16? No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. What's he getting at? We're not to hide the truth. That's what he's getting at here. This is all going, it's all still dealing with hearing the truth. If you have ears to hear, right? He said way back up in verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In our text today, take care how you listen. We're not to hide the truth. Right? What's the saying? What's the little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's a lot of truth to that. We're to let the light of the truth shine as Christians. That's what he's saying here. We're not to hide the truth. And so to our first point, what does it look like to be a good listener? A good listener is somebody who lives the truth. You live it for others to see it. We're to put the truth in practice. Put it in practice, practically in your life. In other words, the gospel, right? The good news of Christ that we heard, that we say we believed, that we embrace by faith. The gospel and the effects of the gospel, right? What does the gospel do? Through the power of the gospel, right? All who hear it and believe it are saved. We're made new creatures. So we're not to bury that and cover it up. But we're to live the truth. We're to put it in practice. The good news of the message of the gospel and the word of God and its effects that it has in our life, it's meant to be seen in our lives. That's the purpose. God did not save you for you to go hide in a closet. Hide the truth, bury the truth. No, we're called. We're called, first of all, to hear it, right? We hear it. We hear it with our physical ears, but we hear it with our spiritual ears. We listen to it. We believe it. Yes, I believe it. We then begin to obey it. Put it into practice in our lives. And the truth itself begins to what? Sanctify us. You see the process here? We hear it. We believe it. We embrace it by faith. We obey it one step at a time, and God begins to sanctify us. But then not only that, but we proclaim it. I love what 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, if you want to jot this down. He says, but you, Peter speaking to the church, New Testament believers that are scattered from persecution. And he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Did you know that is the exact language used of Old Testament Israel and the Old Testament? Peter's saying, no, you're the true people of God. Now this could be Jew or Gentile, but you who God has called out of darkness, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Before I read the second half of that verse, you hear that grace in that? You're a chosen race. He chose you. He chose you. If you believe, he chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. He called you out of darkness. He gave you ears to hear. You embraced Christ. Why? So that you could go hide? So you could hide the truth? No. Listen to what he says. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Do you live the truth, guys? Do we live the truth? Have we truly heard? Have we truly believed? Does it impact our life? Manifested by, do we obey God out of a love for him? Do we seek to please him? Seek to obey? Is the truth sanctifying you? He chose you and called you out of darkness. Not so that you would go bury the gospel, bury the light. now that, but that you would live it and proclaim it. This is what it means to be a good listener. Somebody who lives the truth. Do you live the truth? Have you heard it? Have you believed it? Are you obeying it? Are you being sanctified by it? And are you proclaiming it? Or have you buried the truth? Take care how you listen, Jesus says. And so a good listener of the truth is first of all one who lives the truth. Amen? Are you living the truth? That's really the evidence that you've heard and believed the truth. Really, that's the evidence in the Bible that the Bible gives us. Is that has it impacted our life? Are we living the truth? So I do want to say, we're moving on to our second one now. I want to tell you today, it's just the way the text is set up. All three points, guys, I have them entitled differently according to each verse. But all three points here, he is driving the exact same point home in all three points today in your outline. So just so you know. Because you'll be going, didn't you just say that? Yes. Jesus just said that. But he says it in a little bit different way. So secondly, what does it look like to be a good listener of the truth? A good listener of the truth is one who lives the truth. Secondly, a good listener of the truth is one who is authentic with the truth. In verse 17, authentic with the truth. He says, for nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And so this text here was hard to really see how it fit until the light came on. It's like, oh, that's how it fits. And I can just tell you, many, many commentators would say the same thing. That this is one of those, it just took a little extra study. But he's continuing, he's discussing hearing and obeying, guys. That's his discussion. Hearing and obeying. The point is, we need to remember this, guys. Going back to the parable of the soils, is that there are a lot of fake Christians. There are a lot of fake Christians. We remember that in verses 12 and 13, right? Or 12 through, or 13 and 14. I mean, there's some who just flat out reject. They hear the word, they're not interested. We talked about that last week. And then those on rocky soil, right? They make a profession of faith or whatever, respond for a little while, and then they're gone. Those on the thorny ground sometimes are more hard to tell. They may remain in the church until the very end. They may have everybody fooled, even themselves. But the point is, Jesus is continuing that discussion here. And so there's a lot of fake Christians. We need to be aware of that as God's people, like we talked about last week. And the point is here, guys, is the authenticity or lack thereof, it will be revealed one day of somebody's faith. Whether it was real, whether it was authentic, or whether it was fake. You can hide it now. You can hide it now. You can hide it from others. You can hide it from your parents. You can hide it from your spouse. You can deceive others. You can even deceive yourself. But the truth will be revealed one day. That's what he's saying here. Okay? Whether it's flat out rejection, like those with the hard soil in verse 12, or whether it's hypocritical listeners like the rocky soil or the thorny soil, the truth will be revealed. That's what Jesus is telling us here. It will be revealed. It will come to light. The truth will come to light. So that's why this section of Scripture, all the way from verse 4 to verse 21, is so important for us all. It would be so important for somebody who, like I said, in my past, being a false convert, it's so important for somebody like that who may be deceived. Maybe you're living a hypocritical lie. Oh, that you would listen to the words of Christ in verse 8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, that you would listen to the words of Christ. Take care how you listen. And for the believer, I heard Sister Sarah say this. Amen. Last week. This is what a great portion of Scripture to make our calling and election sure. Give assurance that you are God's sheep. You hear His voice. You have believed. And you're following your Master's footsteps. Again, not in perfection. But there's a sincere, genuine faith and a willing willingness to follow Christ. Beloved, is the reality of the gospel present in your life? Is the reality of the gospel present in your life? When you look at your life, why is this so important? Why is this such an urgent question to answer for each one of us? Because of what's coming, guys. Because of what's coming. That's what he's talking about. These things will be brought to light one day. Listen to a couple verses here. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. You see, if you die without Christ, the games are over. Okay? Your cover's been blown. It's going to come to the light. Romans 2:16, Paul says this, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. That's what's coming. The truth will be revealed. And so we must be very careful. We must be very careful. This would apply to all people. Be very careful how we respond to God's word. Are you living it? Are you living the truth? Are you authentic? Are you being authentic with the truth? Are you playing the pretender, the play actor, the hypocrite? God knows. God knows right now. He knows the truth. Jesus is saying, you know what Jesus is saying here, guys? Right? We talked about the treadmill. How silly that is. We're all guilty of those things. You know, you spend money, it's just like... But Jesus is saying, he goes, you think it's silly to light a lamp? Right? To light a lamp and then hide it under a bed or cover it? You think that's silly? That's what he's saying. Isn't that silly? No one would do this. He's saying, you think that's silly? It's not near as silly as trying to hide your sin from God. That's what he's saying. That's not just silly. Guys, that is insanity on a person. I remember coming to Christ at the age of 22 and thinking that, going, how in the world did I ever think that I look back at my life of hypocrisy and deception. It's like God saw it all the whole time. We think it's, why would you hide a lamp? Why would a person try to hide their sin from God? The one who is omniscient, right? He's all knowing. He knows all things. Past, present, future. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. So you think of a God who's omniscient. He knows all things. And he's all places at once. And we try to hide our sin from God. We try to be the... We put on a show for others to see. But it's all on display before God, and the truth's going to come out. So are you authentic with the truth? Authentic? Are you real with it? Or are you a pretender? Are you a pretender? Are you a hypocrite? Are you going through the motion? You got everybody fooled, right? My parents think I'm this. My husband thinks I'm this. My wife thinks I'm this. My parents think I'm this. My children think I'm this. The pastor thinks I'm this. Guys, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks. God sees it all. Are you authentic with the truth? Take care how you listen. Oh, take care how you listen. A good listener is one who is authentic with the truth, right? You don't just hear it, but you hear it with the desire to listen and to obey. Right? Because of what Christ has done on the cross. What Christ has done on the cross. How he suffered for you. Do you realize that you deserve, I deserve to be in hell? Oh, that God would ask me to obey him. That's the greatest privilege in the universe. To obey the one who came to this earth and suffered such a violent, cruel death so you could be saved. Take care how you listen. If the truth were to come to light right now, guys, what would be revealed? What would be revealed in our life? For nothing is hidden that will not become evident. Nothing. Nothing is hidden that will not become evident. Nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. What does it look like to be a good listener? Our question. What does it look like to be a good listener of the truth? A good listener of the truth is one who lives the truth. Verse 16. Is authentic with the truth. Verse 17. And then our third one. Listens to and obeys the truth. Sounds the same, doesn't it? Again, he's driving the same point home to finish out this section. A good listener of the truth is one who listens to and obeys the truth. Verse 18 through 21. Look at verse 18. So take care how you listen. There's the phrase there. That's the title of the message. Take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Take care how you listen. I think that phrase there, the title of our sermon today, verse 18, that's really the theme of the whole section in verses 4 through 21. Take care how you listen. Because do you remember the different soils? They all heard, right? They all heard. What's the difference? It's how one listens. It's how one listens. Whoever has, okay, I'm going to call these the haves and the have-nots in this verse. It's an interesting text, is it not? So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. These are the haves, okay? Now, spiritually speaking, Jesus is teaching here that the rich get richer. Spiritually speaking, many times, okay? And so what is he saying here? Whoever has, to him more shall be given. The haves. These are the haves, this first category. You know who these people are? These are people who listened, who believed, who obeyed, and who bore fruit. That's who they are. They're verse 15 again. They're the ones, the seed fell on the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest, you hear that? Authentic, in an honest and good heart, with humility, they hold it fast, and then they bear fruit with perseverance to the end. That's who this person is, whoever has. It's those who listen, those who believe, those who obey, those who bear fruit. These who hear, they believe, and what? They apply the word. That's what it is. They apply the word, and Jesus is saying, these people, they will be given even more truth to understand. It's a spiritual principle. When we obey the truth that we hear, God gives us the ability to understand more truth. It's really simple. It's a blessing from the Lord. I want to share an example with you that happened in my own life with this. And it's in the whole area of evangelism, okay? And so back about 2004, I was just under a lot of conviction in my personal life that I was hiding the truth. That I was ashamed of Christ in many ways. And it was just a conviction in my personal life. And so I began to really, really seek the Lord, really confess these things. Confess my fears to Him and just wanted to be more faithful. That's all. Like we all go through. And I started to just really take little steps, believe in God and obeying God in the small things. Lord, I can begin to just give a person a gospel tract and these type of things. And so God began to give me more and more of a desire. Because when you start to obey God, He gives you more of a desire to obey. This could be in any area of the Christian life. Okay? And so I say that, meaning I just started trying to obey God in the smallest things in my personal life. And then God began to just enrich my heart in this area. And He began to give me access to different resources. And I think of Ray Comfort, Way of the Master. And He began to give me more and more understanding. I began to apply that. And then through that, it was through that. It didn't just happen one day. It was through all of that. A process of months and months and years. And then God put in my heart something that's a fire that He's never taken away, that I want you to go out and preach in the public. It didn't just start there. I didn't just wake up one day and go, oh, I think I'm going to go preach in the public. And through all of that, I met this person, I met this person, and I met this person. God called me to pastor this church. But it all started with a certain little, Lord, I'm being disobedient in this area and I just want to be more faithful. And God just began to open up and give me more. I'm the last person I ever would have thought that would go down and preach to hundreds of people. Ever. Introvert. But it started with that little, and this can happen in any area of your life. You hear the truth. You believe the truth. You begin to apply the truth and God will give you more understanding of His Word. Have you noticed sometimes that the most simple, humble Christians have the most insight into God's Word because they're walking with Him. And the Lord in His grace has given them more capacity to understand the Word of God. Does that make sense? The haves. Says whoever has, let him, or for whoever has, to him more shall be given. This is the person who comes to God's Word humbly. They approach God's Word humbly. Not with pride. They approach God's Word knowing that it's God's Word. This is God's Word. This is the one with all authority. And so whatever He says, even if I don't fully understand it, I believe it. And I just want to submit to it. And God will begin to give you understanding. Look at flip over to 1 Thessalonians 2:13 real quickly. I just want to read this verse. Try to apply it here real quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God. He's talking to the Thessalonians now who are believers. We constantly also thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. It's just approaching God's Word, guys, and knowing what it is and who it is. This is the Lord of heaven, and this is His Word, and you accept it right off the bat. This is God's Word. And God's Word is to be heeded. And God's Word is to be obeyed. And he gives that. So you accept it for what it really is. This is just a picture of somebody who trembles at God's Word. The contrite of heart. That it's the Word of God. And being the Word of God, you're going to believe it. Being the Word of God, you're going to apply it. Being the Word of God, you seek to obey it. And then He says, this Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. And so, beloved, when we approach God's Word in a certain area of our lives and we just come with that tender heart, Lord, I just want to obey You in this area. I want to know You. The Word itself performs a work in you who believe. A work of sanctification. A work, God's Word itself sanctifies you, right? The Word sanctifies us. Jesus tells us about that. But the light of God's Word shedding more light and giving more light to you, more understanding. But it's all when we approach God and His Word. Lord, I want to know You. I believe what it says and I want to obey what it says. And God just begins to give you more. Amen. He begins to make you more like His Son. He gives you more understanding. He gives you more of a hunger for His Word. The light of God's Word, giving you more light. I don't know how else to say it. I'm trying to put into words what I've experienced and what I see right here. But when you bury it, hey, I just don't have any desire to read God's Word. Do you ever read it? You got to start somewhere. And do you obey what you read? Or do you just have a reading plan just to get through? No, do you seek to obey and apply what you read? That's when God begins to give you more. He gives you more. He gives you more and more as you respond in obedience and submission to His Word. Put God's Word into practice, beloved, and guess what happens? What is all this saying? You grow. You grow. You grow. And obviously, the end of it results in eternal life, obviously. When we truly believe, and we evidence by that, we evidence that we're a new creation because we now we desire to grow because God has made us new. Obviously, it results in eternal life. Those are the ones who have. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. So these are the have-nots. They think they know the truth. They think they know the truth. These people, they think they know the truth. These would be those who are professing Christians only. Professing Christians. Oh yeah, I did that, I guarantee you, I can promise you, in some form or fashion, that I will hear that later this afternoon. Oh yeah, I did that. As they curse and swear about Christ and blaspheme His name, maybe give you the middle finger. Oh yeah, I did that. I accepted Christ. These are the have-nots. They think they have something, but in reality they don't. He says, whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken from him. And so he's continuing this application, guys. Bad soil here. This is who this person would be. Bad soil here that we looked at last time. This is the person who heard, right? Maybe they responded, had some joy for a little while. But who doesn't live the truth? He's not authentic with the truth. The truth is crowded out by everything else in the world. They're a hearer only. They heard the message. Maybe responded positively to the message. But there's no reality of it in their life. There's no reality of Christ in their life. The world has crowded it all out. They're not authentic with the truth. They're deceived. Or a flat-out hypocrite who has hidden the truth. He'll lose what he thinks he has. Even in this life. Even in this life. They'll move further and further from the truth. Maybe not outwardly. Maybe it won't be visible to other people. But in their hearts, they're moving further away from the truth. They're moving further in darkness. Christ is not really a reality going on. There's no sanctification. There's no true understanding from God about His Word to them because they're still in darkness. Moving further from the truth. Sometimes in spiritual knowledge, but definitely in darkness. Or in his deception, right? Maybe he thinks he's still... Him and God's got something, but he's just becoming more and more deceived. And so it does apply in this life, but even more so, I think Christ is driving the point home. He's talking about that final day when the truth will be revealed. People who reject the gospel, the hard soil hearers who just say, no, don't want anything to do with it. Or who play loose and fast with the truth. They're not authentic. What's Jesus saying? They will lose everything in the end. Even what they thought they had. Everything. The games that they played with Christ and His Word and the gospel will be over. The truth will be revealed. The secrets will be revealed. The psalmist says in Psalm 90 verse 2, I think it is, you have set our iniquities before you. Our secret sins are in the light of your presence. And all of that will be revealed on that day. Even what they thought they had, their supposed salvation, their supposed relationship with Christ, the truth of it will be revealed on that day. They will lose everything they thought they had. It's the parable. Well, I mean, there's many places in Scripture. Jamie read one of them in Matthew 7 about that day. The parable of the virgins is another one, right? There were 10 virgins. Five wise, five unwise, right? But they all thought they were ready for the bridegroom's return when he came. when he came, they said, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." And he said, "Truly, I say to you, the five without oil in their lamps." I think it maybe just represents the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. "I say to you, I do not know you." This is what those people are going to hear on that day. Even what they thought they had, they're going to lose it. So what's he saying? Don't be caught unexpected on that day with a faith that's lacking. Don't be caught on that day with what James would call a dead faith that can't save you. Because you failed to truly listen. Take care how you listen. God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ is not to be mocked. And there's different ways to mock it. You can mock it outrightly, like the mockers do, or you can mock it with your life and live a life of secrecy and hypocrisy, but the truth will be revealed one day. Take care how you listen. And in closing, verses 19 through 21, in closing. Now this section here, interestingly, guys, Matthew and Mark actually placed these verses here, 19 through 21, before the parable of the soils. Luke places it here. Why? Because Luke is not so much concerned about chronological order. He places it here because it fits the theme. Okay? And you'll see it. In verses 19 through 21. "And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you.' But he answered and said to them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" You hear that? That's the same thing he's saying in verse 15 again. "The seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." He's repeating it over and over again. And then Luke gives us this little account as an illustration of when his mother and his brothers come. He gives it as an illustration here. And so just know, Jesus is not in any way disrespecting family relationships. We know that. Obviously, he obeyed the fifth commandment perfectly. Honor your father and your mother. He honored his mother at his death, remember? So, talking to John, take care of her. So this is not him dishonoring parents, family relationships. It's not a renunciation of family in what he says in verse 21. No, but it's a clear teaching. A clear teaching as an example of this very truth that he's been trying to drive home. That God's true children are those who hear the word, right? They hear the gospel. They respond to the gospel. And then they bear fruit in their obedience to it. Again, not saved by their obedience. But they bear evidence that they're truly my children, my family. Why? What does he say? "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." They're the good soil hearers. Take care how you listen. Can he be any more clear, guys? Take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Take care how you listen. Have you heard? Have you heard the clear message from the God of heaven through His Son? "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." Have you come to Him truly? Authentically. It just means with honest faith. Not the hypocrite. You're not playing games. As you examine your heart right here and now, you're not playing games. "No, I truly do have believed in Him." Just know this, if you have come to Him, He will never cast you out. But if you're playing games with Him, stop. The truth will be revealed one day. You know, beloved, Paul tells us in Ephesians that we're adopted into his family by grace. Amen? We are. What a beautiful picture of adoption. That we're adopted, so there's nothing we do to earn it. There's nothing we can do. We're saved by grace through faith and what Christ has done, right? He's the one who paid for our sin so that we could be forgiven and saved. And we trust him by faith alone, willing to repent and follow him, turn to him. So we're adopted into his family by grace, but we demonstrate that. That's what Jesus is saying here. Anybody who is in my family, it's because of my grace. I've called you to myself. You've been adopted into God's family. He adopts prostitutes into his family. Liars and drunkards and fornicators and homosexuals and all these different sinful people. Amen. He adopts into his family by grace. But what is he saying here in this case? In verse 21, my mother and my brothers, in other words, my family, those who are adopted, well, that's what he's saying. My family who are adopted by grace are those who hear the word of God and do it. So take care how you listen. Whoever you are in here, anybody would hear this, take care how you listen. Have you come to Christ? Have you come to Jesus Christ because you truly desire to submit to Him as your Lord and receive Him as your Savior by faith and repentance? Or are you playing games? If you're playing games, turn to Him today. Because that's another category of people He saves as hypocrites. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this clear teaching, this clear encouragement for the believer, this clear warning for the hypocrite. Father, that to take care how we listen, to take care how we hear. God, we love You so much, Father, only because You first loved us. Lord, we would have no love for You if You had not given us new hearts with the capacity to love, with the capacity to love You and to follow You, Lord. And we think about what you went through, Lord Jesus, on the cross. How can we not desire to follow You? We think about Your hands that were pierced through for our transgressions. Those kindest hands that ever walked the earth. Father, we're just so grateful, God. Help us, Lord. Help us by Your grace not to be the hypocrite, Lord. Help us not to be the one who's playing loose and fast with the truth. Lord, help us not to bury, cover up the light, God. Lord, You called us out of darkness. And Father, help us by our message and by our very lives to call others out of darkness, Lord. Because we are the light of the world, You said. We have the Word of God, which is Your light. So Father, just help us to live the truth, to be authentic with the truth, to proclaim the truth, to obey the truth, Lord. Because You have forgiven us for so much, Lord. How can we not love You much? Lord, seal this message to our hearts, God. Take care how we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.